Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he had said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Today is Pentecost, the day we remember when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in great power as they all prayed for him to come. So here from Tese is our first song, Veni Sancti Spiritus, translated means, "Come Holy Spirit." And this is how it all happened on the day of Pentecost. I'm reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" That hymn, Spirit of God and Seen as the Wind, came to us from Salisbury Cathedral with the voices of 700 schoolchildren. So, Pentecost then and Pentecost now. What's the main difference? Well, way back then, Jesus had told his disciples all there was to know about the Holy Spirit and who he was and what he was coming to do. Jesus even breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit when he was still alive. But it was only after he died and returned to heaven that the Spirit came in glory and power, in wind and flame, causing the disciples to go out into the street witnessing and praising God in a variety of languages they'd never learned, but which were actually recognized by people from all over what was the known world then. Now, we too have been told about, and we have read about, the Holy Spirit. We know what happened at Pentecost, and what is expected of us today as Christians. But is our desire to witness to others as strong and as fervent? Is the same Spirit of God firing us up from the inside out? Or do we still feel that the God we worship is some distance away? The Holy Spirit came bearing many gifts for the building up of Christ's body, the church. And it goes without saying that the church's pastoral gifts and its liturgical gifts are strong and often amazing in many churches. But where are the more supernatural gifts of the Spirit that fired the early church and made people sit up and take notice? Where are the mass conversions now, the miraculous healings, the tongue speakers and prophets? Shouldn't we as a church be asking ourselves, are we missing something? Or are we missing someone? Here's a hymn by the Heritage Singers, Breathe on Me.
In humble adoration, I kneel before your throne. In brokenness, I seek your face alone. Above you, there's no other who's able to restore my soul. Come and make me
from my prideful ways. Use me now. Thank you.
Let me ask a few what-ifs this morning. What if, way back then, these disciples had stood there just gazing into the sky and worshipping at the spot where Jesus ascended into heaven, instead of returning to the city? Well, that's what they did at first. And two angels had to confront them and send them off to do what they'd been told to do. What if the disciples had had more important matters on their minds, other things to do, instead of waiting around for the Holy Spirit to come? What if, on returning to their lodgings, they'd been at odds with each other and become divided? What if they'd become bogged down in endless committee meetings that sapped their time and their energy? What if their prayers had been spasmodic and only half-hearted? What if they hadn't been bothered to pray at all? What if they decided outdoor preaching just wasn't their thing? What if their expectations of the Spirit's power had been too low? What if they'd allowed themselves to become distracted? Can you imagine if social media had been around then? Would the disciples have given their full attention then to the things of God? I don't think so. But don't all these questions say more about us now and where our problems may lie? There's a missing ingredient here somewhere. There's something that we're just not seeing. This next song by Northumbria Community invites us to kindle the flame of the Holy Spirit within us. What is the real difference between Pentecost then and Pentecost now? I know. Let's go to that electronic voice of wisdom that everyone seems to look to today for answers. Let's ask Alexa Voice Control. Andrew, come over here and help me with my drama, please. Andrew is my chief technician here. Leave your controls and come here.
Alexa, how come Pentecost was so dynamic then?
Way back then, the disciples followed Jesus' instructions. They waited on God and prepared themselves in order to receive the Holy Spirit. They persevered in prayer, in the temple, and at their lodgings. They were united and of one mind, obedient, excited, and expectant.
Alexa, what is this speaking in tongues?
It is a speech called Letters to the Third World Women by Gloria Infelger.
Alexa, stop. I'm not getting anywhere here. I meant the languages the disciples were given at Pentecost, which were understood by the crowd. Alexa, what difference did the Holy Spirit make to the lives of the disciples?
The Holy Spirit empowered the church with new life, confidence, courage, and boldness. No longer did fear rule their hearts. The disciples were filled with a passionate desire to spread the news about Jesus Christ.
Alexa, why don't we see that kind of witnessing and growth in numbers today?
In many parts of the world, miraculous things are happening, and there is tremendous growth of New Testament proportions. Faith is being shared despite persecution. In the West, such a thirst for things of the Spirit is not such a priority and not all that much in evidence.
Why is this the case?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Alexa, why do Christians in the West seem either unwilling or fearful of sharing their faith?
There are a number of reasons. They may feel that they need to know their Bibles more, or understand more about their faith first. They may fear being judged if they speak out, because they may not be living up to the standard required. They may fear being reprimanded for forcing their beliefs on others. They may fear rejection or ridicule, or they may not see the need to share their faith with people who do not want to know. What is your reason?
Sorry, I don't know that one. Hey, I'm asking the questions. Alexa, if I waited on God, prepared myself and prayed to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit before I did anything else for God, what would happen to me?
God himself has promised to come and live within you, to continue the work of Jesus on earth through you. God has said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you.
Alexa, what will be expected of me then?
You will be a channel of his saving grace to others.
Alexa, how will I be able to tell if he is in me?
By the fruit you bear in life.
Alexa, what kind of fruit?
Fruit may include apple, coconut, avocado, orange. For more, check out the Alexa app.
Alexa, stop. Not that kind of fruit. I think it may mean the fruit of the Spirit.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control.
Alexa, tell me again, how can the Holy Spirit enter into my life today?
In his time, as he wills, and he will respond. It is said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Remember too, it will be a different experience for everyone. You are not mass productions on an assembly line as I have been.
O Lord, begin with me. Break me, melt me, mould me. Fill me each and every day to overflowing.
That is not a question.
I'm not talking to you, Alexa, but it is my prayer. Will it be yours too? Alexa, play the song From This Moment On.
From this moment on, I raise my hand, my clutching hand to you. My life is in that hand.
Thank you, Andrew. Well done. When we receive the Holy Spirit as a guest into our lives, we are receiving God's power. We no longer need to do things in our own strength. We rely on His. We receive His guidance through prayer, through others, and through God's Word. We are sent in service to say and do the kind of things that Jesus would have done. And we develop a keener conscience about what to do and what not to do. We're also filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the greatest of all of these being love, which holds everyone and everything together. And we'll also be given a variety of gifts to use to equip us for service and to encourage us. For all these things we pray. So come, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. To finish, let's hear the words of that last prayer set to music by Stuart Townend and Keith Getty and sung here by Kristen Getty. It's called Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. Bye for now.
Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Christ in all I do.
Christ with me and Christ before me, Christ behind me and Christ in me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ to my right.